Amen. You may be seated. And as you're seated, if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, to chapter 5, to verses 14 through 16. I'm sure that in some time in your life, in your Sunday school experience, you sang the little song, "This Little Light of Mine." I remember singing it in Pakistan, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." And we would sing, "Shine all over Pakistan, I'm going to let it shine." And then the next verse is, "I won't let Satan snuff it out." And we would always hold our candle and everybody would try to snuff each other's out like we were Satan or something. And we would hold it tight like there was actually a flame there. "Won't let Satan snuff it out. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." How sad it is that we outgrow and leave some of our most simple and yet most practical theology. It's left in our Sunday school rooms as little ditties sung by children, and sadly often, not often embraced by adults. So we hear the words of Jesus as a simple child's song instead of an understanding of what God is calling us to be as a people. Well, this morning we come to our last D in our vision statement, display. We pray to be a people who display the glory of God through the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Now, we have talked about, and we'll talk more about, what does it mean to be a missional community? And some folks are uncomfortable with that word, partially because it's been absconded by the realities of our culture and our Christian culture this day, meaning social justice. But if you think about the word missional, I read an article and it simply said that missional is simply making a verb out of mission. And isn't that what the Christian is called to live? We're simply to be missional, to be the personification of missions, to take the gospel out to every place where God has placed us, and to trust and rest that God is using us in a way that he intends for every missionary to be used. I think sometimes that we support missionaries out there. And in doing so, we feel good and we feel comfortable and we ought to, because they're doing the work of God. And yet we fail to realize and remember that we are missionaries here, that we are called to the very same realities that God has called them to, but our mission field is our neighborhood, our places of work, our places where we play, our places where we gather together. So that in every way, to every person, we seek to be intentionally living out the gospel. And as we come this morning to these wonderful verses preached by the greatest preacher in perhaps unarguably the greatest sermon, we come to the words of Jesus, who is calling his disciples to simply live out the truth of the gospel that is within them. But the emphasis of these few verses of intentionally living out the gospel in every place, with everyone, and in every way, Jesus calls us to display the glory of God through the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that purpose they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Jesus, we pray this morning that you would open the eyes of our heart. These verses that may even seem on their surface to be a command to works, and in reality we know they're not. And we want to do away with them because we don't believe in that. Help us to wrestle with your words to us this morning, where you call us the light of the world. You call us to let our light shine before men, to not hide it under a bushel. Holy Spirit, would you go to and fro within our hearts, convicting us in those ways where your kindness leads us to repentance, and repentance leads us to Christ's likeness, and Christ's likeness leads us to display the glory of God to those lost around us, that they may not see us, but see Christ and be drawn to him, to the glory of the Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was at Illinois State University, Kelly and I had one of our students, his name was Josh. Josh was a transfer student from Moody Bible College, where Josh was in the choir at Moody. And he once told me that the choir director at Moody would call them to perfection as a choir. And then he gave his reasons for that. He says, what we are as a choir is we are displaying the glory of God. And we are like a window through which others will see God in all of his manifest glory through the words we sing and through our music. But like a window, if there is a smudge, the focus of the eye leaves the glory behind and comes to the smudge. And our goal is not for people to look at us, but to see God in all of his glory. The purpose of the Sermon on the Mount, which Jesus is preaching at this time, is not the perfection of man, but it's the power of the gospel, which allows the redeemed sinner to become a clear pane of glass through which the world around him sees the manifest glory of God. And as people see the glory of God in us, they begin to be drawn, not to us, because they don't even see us. They're drawn to the flame of the gospel which is within us. Jesus begins with the Beatitudes. Some commentators have said, let these be your attitudes. And he begins with the wonderful Beatitudes, and then he moves to salt and gives these very basic, rudimentary, if you will, examples. You're the salt of the earth. The salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing. And we know the salt preserves and brings flavor. And then he comes to this passage and says to them, you are the light of the world. Now we just read in John chapter 1 that Jesus says, John says that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus will affirm that later on. But here Jesus is speaking to you and I. You are the light of the world. And so the question that comes to us is, what is the source of light? Is it me, myself and I? Is it my goodness? Is it my abilities? Is it my skill? No, what are we just saying? I have nothing. I don't boast in anything but Christ. Probably one of my favorite times of the year in our church is our Christmas Eve service, our candlelight service. And after we have heard the gospel sang and prayers have been prayed and the gospel has been read and the gospel has been preached, we have our Advent candles here, and I'll take the middle candle, the Christ candle, and I'll go down the aisle. And each person lights their candle, and then each one lights off of that. And what's the point? The point is that we're just holding candles without Christ. But when we are in Christ Jesus, the manifest glory of God is ours because of Christ Jesus. Notice what John said in the passage we read. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent whose name was John. He came as a witness, bearing witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came bearing witness to the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will but of God. The source of the believer as light is Christ living in him by faith. And so Jesus turns to us and says, you are the light of the world. And as believers, his Holy Spirit lives within us. Therefore, Christ, the light of the world, lives within us. Now we are the bearers of that light to the rest of the world. And Jesus begins by challenging us with two, again, very rudimentary examples. He says the obvious, because sometimes we need to hear the obvious. He begins with a city on a hill. He said a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Now the purpose for cities on a hill were that they would be a fortress of protection. But that's not the point of what Jesus is saying. The point here is of visibility. It cannot be hidden. It is seen for miles and miles and miles around. It's not in a valley where only those on the top can see it. It is on the hill where for miles around in every direction, people can see this city on a hill. And then he turns to lighting of a lamp. And in those days, it would have been a lighting of a lamp that would have given light. It's not the turning on of lights. And he says, nor do people light a lamp and then put it under a basket. Not only would that be dangerous, but it's not its intended purpose. But they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. And in verse 15, he gives us the purpose of light that is within his illustration. And he says the purpose is not the anti-purpose, that we hide the light and it doesn't fulfill its purpose. The purpose of light is to be shown for everybody to see. It has a benefit that goes beyond just self. And two things happen when lights or lamps are hidden under bushels. Firstly, they just simply lose the purpose for which they were intended. And brothers and sisters, we often hide our lights under a bushel. And the purpose for which God redeemed us for his glory is diminished when we hide the light of the gospel within us. And secondly, sadly, in this example, when oxygen is deprived from the light, it will end up being simply snuffed out. And then Jesus returns to application in verse 16, And he says it in this way, in the same way. As you go through your houses and you light lamps and you put them in the most beneficial places for everybody to get the light, in that same way. And he comes back to the internal reality. Let your light shine before others. And then the purpose. What's the purpose? And this is very important. So that they, men, may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, hopefully that begs a question. What does he mean by good works? Are not good works antithetical to the very gospel that Jesus is proclaiming? After all, does not the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 say that we're saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest anyone should boast? And our answer is a loud and resounding amen. In fact, it is so important and central to the gospel that Paul is preaching that he repeats it again towards the end of that section. Is this not the enforced of the five solas of the Reformation? We are saved by Christ alone, by faith alone, by grace alone, in the scriptures where it's found alone, and to the glory of God alone. And these truths are the bedrock, not simply of the Reformation. They are the bedrock of the gospel. So what exactly are the good works that Jesus is talking about here? That people will see and therefore give glory to their Heavenly Father. These are the works with which the Apostle Paul finishes that passage in Ephesians. He says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing a work. It's not of your own works. It is a gift of God. Not as a result of works so that anyone can boast. And then verse 10, for we are his workmanship, and here salvation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There are three optimal words in this passage that must never be confused, but must never be confused, or they will deny the gospel. The first little word is simply by, and then the second word is in, and the last word is for. We're not saved by good works. Your good works, however good they may be in the eyes of anybody else before the throne of God, the Apostle Paul says, are filthy rags. So offensive to the holiness of God that somehow the likes of you and I could even purchase a morsel of grace by something that you and I do. Therefore, the reformers would say, that will rob God of his glory. And how offensive it is to the living God. We are not saved by works. The second word is in. We are created in Christ Jesus. The gospel envelops us for a very purpose. And what's that purpose? That we were created. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for, not by, for good works. That the good works that we now manifest in our life have nothing to do with us, but have everything to do in displaying the power of the gospel to redeem sinners. To manifest the glory of God to a dying world. I heard a preacher expound the five solas the other day of the Reformation, and he went through them all and he said, we're saved by faith alone, but the Christian faith is never alone. because the product of saving faith is always a display of the glory of God in a life transformed. After all, isn't that what the Apostle James says in his epistle when he says that faith without works is dead? It is not a diminishing of faith in any way, but it's the display of faith in the life of the believer as God displays his glory through them in transformative ways to show forth the power of the gospel. So how do we apply this glorious truth? First of all, believer in Christ, does your light shine before men? Or, antithetically, do you hide it under a bushel? In other words, are you living out your God-intended, Christ-redeemed, Holy Spirit-infused intention? Are you, in the fullness of who God has called you to be, living out the glory of the gospel? Does your faith and life in Christ have greater purpose, maybe, than you just recognized? See, we are so satisfied with thinking that all of Christianity and all of the gospel and all of scripture is about making me feel comfortable and getting me to heaven. And I think that though those realities are true, we often are robbed. And far too often, we find the purpose of the Christian faith more about self than about Christ. More about us than about Jesus and his glory manifest in us. More about my comfort than living out the truth of the gospel and being persecuted for it, the last of the Beatitudes. So how do we live out these verses? First of all, realize that your life has a twofold purpose. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, your life has been redeemed, has been called by God, redeemed by Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit in order to display the glory of God in the excellencies of Christ and his grace by which you are a believer. Secondly, you're to live in such a way that the purpose is fulfilled so that men will not see you, will not see your good deeds, but they will see through you and glorify your heavenly Father and say, there's a person who has been freed by the grace of God and loves the Lord. And what I see manifest in them is the glory of God and nothing else. What a goal for the Christian life. And Jesus says, let your light shine. How? Simply by living daily with gospel intentionality. Seek ways and through our lives and our speech and our actions and our attitudes, seek those opportunities where God is going to open doors for the gospel to be proclaimed. Because when your life is shut, the gospel is also shut in that reality. You're not fulfilling your purpose, and others who desperately need to see the power of the gospel don't often see it. So as you rise in the morning, pray. Lord, today lead me by your Holy Spirit to those places and to those people where you're already working. And there use me to be a means by which Christ is glorified before them, that they may see the glory of God manifest in us and bring glory to the Father. Ask the Lord to make the purposes and the motivations of every aspect of your life to bring glory to God and point others to Christ than to bring glory to yourself. It is very easy to fall into the trap of saying, am I not doing good? Look at me. Instead of, I hope you don't see me, I hope you see Christ. in everything that I do, in the ways that I do it, in the motives of my heart, that he would be glorified. After all, isn't that the answer to the first question of the catechism? What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Ask yourself and ask the Lord to search you. Are there places and are there people with whom I am more likely to hide the gospel light within me? And why? Why in front of some am I happy to share that I'm a Christian? And why in front of others I want to cover up the light of the gospel in me? And ask the Lord to free you, to lovingly and graciously and fully let your light shine so that they can see Christ. And then ask, what are my motives for any good deed that I do? Do I do them to simply for me to be seen by God, to be seen by men? Or is it that they may see and glorify not me, but God? See, when we do them to be seen by men, the glory stops at us. But when our motive is to be seen that they might see the glory of God, they see through us and past us to the eternal life within us. Ask, do I do them for my happiness and simply to feel good about myself? Or is there a greater joy for which I need to do this, and that's the glory of God? Do I do them to gain honor with God? Or do I do them, and do I do them because I love God more than I love self? And then are they acts of true faith? Or are they something that points more to self than to God? And so it's the purification of our faith that brings forth the good deeds that point beyond us and to the glory of God and the power of the gospel. My friend Josh's choir director was right, but not just for music, but for life. We're the window through which the world sees the glory of God in the manifest grace in Jesus Christ. When self is the motivation, our windows are smudged, and everybody pays attention, and their attention is taken off of God and placed upon us. But when our hearts, our purposes, our motives are God's glory, then they see right through us and they see him and the power of the gospel that has changed us. Let's pray. Father, would you make us those windows so clear? That others see Christ in us. I pray that many, through the transformation of their lives through this word, even this morning, that we would learn to take our eyes off self. And that you would cleanse and purify as we come to the table of the Lord, not only what we do, but why we do it. And for who we do it. Oh Lord, we need to be set free from ourselves. Father, we recognize we live in a depraved culture and world where self is God and self-glorification and self-satisfaction trump everything. But you said, blessed are the meek, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are you when people revile you for my name's sake. Father, every culture throughout every generation has needed it. But right now we know that this world so desperately needs the gospel. May the Church of Jesus Christ, may Westminster Presbyterian Church take its light out from under the bushel and spread it so that all may see and be drawn to the gospel that lies within. And may we find profound joy in seeing your kingdom grow as we die to self and live for Christ with gospel intentionality. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you rise as we